This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, a Monday edition here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you. Super Bowl 49. Is set, and one of us had the right prediction. Now, a chance to join elite greatness on this program, Jim Langan. Only one person in the history of the Doug and Daddy Show has ever correctly predicted the exact outcome of the Super Bowl before the season started, and you have positioned yourself, albeit. And I know we talked about this at the beginning of the year. New England and Seattle, this is very rare. And Jimmy picked that. I had Seattle-Cincinnati. I took a shot, like I did with San Francisco-Baltimore the year that we got that one right. But it's very rare that two teams that are favored at the beginning of the year end up as the number one seeds and still make it into the Super Bowl. Very, very rare. And, of course, over the next 2 weeks, we'll probably hear about how rare that is. But it is. It's Seattle, and it's New England. What'd you think? Good morning. How's it going, man?
Hey, pretty good. I thought New England dominated the game, and it looked like Seattle. That whole NFC, I mean, you're sitting there, if you're the Detroit Lions, and you're going, man, we could have beat the Dallas Cowboys. And the Dallas Cowboys are sitting there going, man, you know, we had the Green Bay Packers. And the Green Bay Packers are going, wow. We had the Seattle Seahawks. I mean, so I think, you know, if you go back to Detroit, Dallas has got to look and go, you know, that was kind of a good win we had at Detroit. But what a horrible loss we had at Green Bay. You know, and I think Green Bay's doing the same thing with their win over Dallas and now their loss with New England. New England's sitting there going, how the heck did we ever win this football game?
I'm sitting here, and I've got to get this out of the way. I want to get this out of the way to all the Detroit fans and Dallas Cowboy haters and Green Bay fans. Karma. That's the word you threw at me last week. So here's karma, not recovering the onside kick. That's the point I'm going to go at. You can have all these plays and all these games. That's the one. And it happened to the guy, but that is a funny bounce in football. As far as officiating yesterday, I don't know that I really remember anything that was too horrid. There were quite a few flags, it seemed like, from time to time, and some penalties that obviously affected the game. But obviously, that nightcap, that's just, I'll talk about that in a sec, but that first game, Green Bay, Seattle, it blows my mind. I mean, Green Bay's defense isn't that good, and it finally quit raining in the first half, and then when the rain came, Seattle finally seemed to do something a little bit there. It was a strange game, but Jimmy, we've watched enough sports. Green Bay should have had that thing put away at halftime. They didn't, and it cost them. They should have never got to that onside kick point, which everybody knows. That thing should have been 24-0 at halftime. It's over at 24-0.
Yeah, I thought Green Bay, kind of a strange thing. I thought there were two calls that hurt Green Bay in the game that maybe could have been overlooked. They're not overlooked. One was right after Green Bay intercepted the pass. I think they were up 3-0, and they returned to the 5-yard line. It could have been 0-0. They returned it to the 5-yard line, and there was a late hit kind of out of bounds on the guy that returned it, and then a lineman kind of from Green Bay got involved in it. Instead of having first and goal at the 5, they got first and goal at the 20, or first and 10 at the the 20th. I thought that was a huge call. And then the other one, Matthews kind of hit the quarterback late, but they didn't call that. But then all of a sudden, an offensive lineman decides to go in there and get his 2 cents in. Definitely thought that was a dead ball foul, which would have been a 15-yard penalty. But they called it a live ball foul.
Mm.
Remember that? They called it a live ball foul, and then they just declined the penalty instead of adding on 15 more yards onto the play. Do you remember what I'm talking about here?
I remember the first one, and the first one didn't affect the outcome of the ball game because they got a first down and had first and goal anyway.
Correct. So, it did, yeah.
But they struggled in the red zone. They struggled in the red zone, kind of like Oregon. Maybe you don't want to wear green. Green in the red zone's bad?
Must be this year.
So there you go. And I think in the end, this will give us a much more intriguing matchup. I do, though, think that you've got a lot of – you'll have that sour taste. There are more Seattle fans now because they have been winning in the Russell Wilson factor. But let's face it, people are tired of New England, and they haven't won anything in 11 years. Russ Hochstein is going to join us today on the Doug and Daddy Show. He won a ring with those guys. He won a ring with Tampa Bay. He's got 3 Super Bowl rings, and he still lives in the area. We're going to talk with the former Husker, Patriot, Chief, Bronco. He's been all over the place. We're going to talk with Russ Hochstein. Tampa Bay, of course, won that first ring there with Coach Gruden. And then we're also going to talk with Stu Pospisil of the Omaha World Herald in the second half of the show about high school basketball. We're into that second half of the season. Some conference tournaments will get going here, but Russ, I can't wait to catch up with him again. How does New England continue to do it? And frustratingly enough, how do they not have more Super Bowl championships? And I was shocked, not totally shocked, but it kind of raised your eyebrow when they said that Tom Brady will become only the second player to play in 6 Super Bowls, which means, Jimmy, he is the only guy that has been on all of these New England, I mean, there's not an offensive lineman, a defensive tackle. Usually you see those guys hang on for their whole career. It is shocking to me that New England could be this good this long, and he is the only constant. And I know he's great and all that, but usually there's 2 or 3. I mean, out of 48 to 53 that you have that nobody has been on this organization as long as the guy that should be getting hurt the most, the quarterback position, that kind of was a little short of astonishing to me.
Really astonishing. I mean, absolutely amazing, because usually an offensive lineman, usually it's somebody that can stay healthy, you know what I mean, and that doesn't get traded. So a lot of times it's not a big-time player. It's somebody that's making, you know, $1 million or $800,000, you know, a year, and is sitting there and playing right offensive tackle. And sometimes he's a backup, but hey, it's somebody that gets along with the coaching staff, gets along with all the coaches, gets along with, you know, the team personnel, and they like having that guy around. He just is really good for the self-image of their team and et cetera. So that is amazing to me, what you just said, Doug. Absolutely amazing.
How do they keep doing it?
Well, they bring in guys, they're 6th-round draft picks, and they find guys like that really, you know, like to play and build into their system. You know, it's kind of interesting. New England runs plays, I think, offensive plays that are really borderline, like picks and things like that all the time. And those guys buy into that stuff. And they really they have good scouting reports. It's amazing the things they do. You know, when they see a blitz coming, they read that. And their tight end will go downfield, and he will almost attack the linebacker. And then they bring in the wideout or a back out of the backfield. He follows him. Well, it's impossible to cover that. And, I mean, they run that better than anybody I've ever seen run that play. And it is a set play when they see the blitz.
And they use so many plays. It just kind of torques me off a little bit when they can just throw it to the offensive tackle and he gets in. You know, it's just like, it doesn't matter what they do. It seems to work. But New England just dominated. I mean, their defense isn't supposed to be that good. And Andrew Luck had 0 success yesterday. And New England just continues to win football games. They just continue to get it done. And as you said, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of standout stars. And they don't just squeak by. They kicked the snot out of Indy yesterday. It was never a game.
You know, what's going on with this underinflated footballs they're talking about? You know, that they underinflated. And, you know, hey, Doug, when I used to kick off and kick extra points, you know, in high school, and when I used to kick off, if I could get the ball I wanted, it was more of an advantage to me. It really was, and especially when it got cold in November or late October. So, I mean, I didn't want the hardest ball we had on the field, you know what I mean? But, you know, it says, I think it's between 9 and 11 pounds or 11 and 13 pounds. So it was always, you know, I always wanted to get, but we never really adjusted them because our quarterback and our running backs carried the ball all the time. They were the ones, we had to have a ball that they liked, not what I wanted, but if I could have found that one ball, I would have picked it. You know, hey, let's take this one and let's kick off the game. So I used to always kick off with that one ball. If we had to kick off, I grabbed that ball, I had it, and I handed that to the
warmer.
You know, but I mean, it was always the one. But it was the only time we ever, you know, I ever did anything that I thought, hey. But you know, after you play a lot of years, and you think that you're going to gain an advantage on that, but I don't know how underinflated they would have been. I mean, you know, I mean, you get my point.
Right.
You
know, all of a sudden, you're grabbing a sack of bread. You're going, wait a minute. How did that wet sack of bread slip through my hands? Well, it was underinflated.
Well, you know, when I worked the Danger football games, Doug, this is kind of interesting, and I'll throw this out for the listeners, but when I ref the Danger football games, we have to go in, and they have about 20 of those that we go in, and we have to okay them. And if they're not okay, we have to get air in them. You know, or if they're too overinflated, we'll throw them out. You know, if there's too much, we just throw those things out. We're not going to use those today. In fact, sometimes we put them in our bag and take those home. But basically what I'm trying to tell you is if the ball goes into the crowd, we don't get it back.
Yeah.
So we have to have about 20 ready. And then at the second half, we see how many we have, and we have to do the whole thing again. So we're there an hour and a half before the game. I guarantee you these football officials, somebody, whether it was the head referees, they have enough referees. Mm. Somebody was in charge of making sure that these things were correct. Now, if New England said, yeah, here's the game balls, and handed them to these guys and said, here's our 20 game balls, and the guy goes, yep, they're okay, and then they changed ball bags, that was intentionally done, and they should be fined. You know, because it was deception all the way. They intentionally did that, and there should be a fine. You shouldn't have to forfeit the football game, but they should be fined because they're supposed to play with the balls you give the referees before the game. Said, here are our game balls, and because it was wet, you'll have more than one.
Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Monday edition of the Doug and Daddy Show. They were talking about that just in the segment with Colin Cowherd before the show today. And if general people or football fans are naive enough to think that not every team is trying to get every advantage within the rules that they can, like I will compare this to NASCAR. I mean, you're trying to tweak the car, which are supposedly all pretty much the same, but you're trying to tweak it to become the best racer. Well, you're trying to do things here. What is starting to burn me is how come they're checking New England every time? This is like picking on Ndamukong Suh. I'm not a New England fan. But you know what? Come on. Did you check the Indianapolis footballs? Did Indianapolis do everything fair? Seattle, Green Bay? I mean, who's making this? Who would say, hey, you know, I'm an expert in pounds per pressure of National Football League footballs, and I noticed here on my television set from Sacramento, California, that those footballs look like they might be a little underinflated there in Foxborough. Who the hell's paying attention who's calling them out?
Yeah, that's what I'd like to see, too. And there's some other things. I mean, there's some – I mean, but, you know, here it is, Doug, is the thing of it is I don't know who's calling them up, but the intent is to say – Or they wouldn't do it. If they wouldn't say, hey, give us our footballs, I mean, that wouldn't be in the rule book. It is in the rule book that says, hey, we want to see your game balls and what you're going to use. And the visiting team has to have, if they want to use, they can use the home team's ball. I mean, you know, they can use the home team's ball, but they never do. They always have their own footballs.
Fires off your thoughts. 888-455-ESPN, the Kearney Chicken Coop fan line, 888-455-3776. You can always tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550 and the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. This comes from Archie, I think this might be from Archie, if I read this right. It says, Jimmy, thanks for bringing up the personal foul call on the lineman against Matthews. How could that not be a dead ball call? While watching the game, I could not figure out why Green Bay would decline the penalty. As much as the NFL protects the quarterbacks, I can't believe a whistle wasn't blown. Wilson was in the grasp and was being driven backwards. Great show, guys. That does come from Archie.
Good.
We'll take a break. Doug and Daddy's show will continue with Russ Hochstein, former Husker, former three-time Super Bowl world champion. Plus, Stu Pospisil will get to join us here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see a mix of clouds and sunshine develop today with high temperatures up in the mid-50s. Winds out of the west to northwest at about 10 to 15. Now with partly cloudy skies tonight, we'll drop off to 30 for a low. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now it's 45.
Back at Daddy's show, back at the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick GMC Cadillac. Midway's new 2014 model clearance event is happening now through the end of the month. Get 2.9% APR for 72 months, plus a $500 rebate for financing with Midway on top of the huge rebates and your hassle-free discount on all 2014 models in stock. Midway is also clearing out the 2014 Ram trucks. Take up to $7,600 off brand new 2014 Rams, plus the 2.9% APR for 72 months, plus an additional $500 rebate for financing with Midway. You can stop by and see the gang and their really cocky mustaches that they're growing here. I don't know what's going on out there with crazy boys, but you can check in some cheesy mustaches right now at the Midway Auto Dealerships and visit thinkmidway.com. Midway, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Midway, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Doug Duda, Jim Langen with you on this Monday, looking to make contact with Russ Hochstein as well as Stu Pospisil during the show today. And later on in the week, we'll be getting more and more with what's going on with the Super Bowl and getting into conference tournament playoff time and all that kind of things. One more thing on the Super Bowl. I heard him discuss it today, the knock on New England. There seems to still be a little faction of this out there. Will they play in a weak division? It's easy for... The reason it's a weak division is because New England keeps thumping everybody in that division. And not all the time. The Jets will beat them. Buffalo. The Dolphins will beat them. Does Buffalo ever beat them?
I think Buffalo beat them last game of the season, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I didn't count. They weren't playing anybody.
Okay.
That don't count, does it, Jimmy?
Okay.
Right?
Probably.
Right, it doesn't
yeah,
count.
I guess not.
Does it not count?
Probably not.
I mean, you're right, but... New England didn't play any of their guys, so because they had number one wrapped up.
I do agree with what you said, though. I mean, whether they beat them or not, what I do agree with you is when they every year go 12-4, that's a lot of losses for the rest of the league. You know what I mean? That's when they go 12-4, that means a lot of other people are losing. Yeah.
We're going to give Russ Hochstein a call right now and get him hooked up. He was in a little bit of a meeting there, so he's ready to roll. And we'll give him a buzz for that right now. If that was the case, then you wouldn't have teams with losing records making the playoffs. The NFC South was horribly weak. Nobody took care of that, did they?
No. And, you know, when you look at really who New England beat, you know, this year, they beat an Indianapolis team that beat the Denver Broncos. I mean, that was a, you know, that's a pretty good win right there. So, to me, New England took care of business. I think New England's good. I really do. I think New England's the real deal. This is going to be a great Super Bowl. I would be surprised. I don't know. You know what the spread is probably, Doug. What is it?
Well, I was going to ask you your thoughts here. It opened immediately. Now, again, the game was still kind of going on. And as you read the timeline, it's interesting because usually you, it is the national media is now more and more accepting of talking about the wagering
yes.
on sporting events, including the Super Bowl. While the game was going, it opened at 2.5 Seattle. As the game progressed and New England kept rolling, it got down to even. And right now, basically, it's even. You may have to give some juice one side or the other. It's even. Over-unders have stayed pretty tight at around 48.5. You can find 49.5 as well. My initial reaction is a lot of these Super Bowls have been going under. Last year was a little bit of an anomaly, but I think I got to double check. I think it still went under because it was 42-8 or 43-8, and it may have went over by that last touchdown last year. But a lot of the Super Bowls lately under. I like this one to go over as we talked 2 weeks before the game, and I'm not sure. I'm not sure about the game. I picked Seattle. For some reason, I'm rooting for Seattle, who I was totally rooting against last year. But I just think it's New England. This might be their time to ride off into the sunset. I think NFL pro football fan wants both of these teams to ride off into the sunset for a while.
Yeah. You know what was interesting, Doug? Before the game, I'm talking about before both games on Saturday night, if you wanted to bet the game, you could bet it. You know, they have four different possibilities. But you could bet Seattle over New England, and the spread was 3.5. So that's how much the game changed. It changed, 3.5 points just by what we saw in one day.
We are pleased to welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show, former Husker, and of course has got rings on his fingers. He could sit on that couch with Joe Montana and show off his Super Bowl rings. Joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, Doug Duda and Jim Langen. It's Russ Hochstein. And Russell, good morning, or in your case, good afternoon. How you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing today?
Well, we're trying to figure out how the hell the Patriots are so good every single year. The fervor out there. Nobody leaves those games early like Seattle fans do. I mean, great job by the Patriots. Do you still get jacked up to watch playoff football?
Oh, I love every minute of it. I watch football all year long, and the playoffs are by far and away the best part of the year and the best time of year. I was lucky to be a part of the runs in the playoffs, and I know how special it is. So it's a lot of fun watching them.
So you watch New England. Are they doing anything different, visibly big-time different, than they were when you were part of the team winning Super Bowls?
Oh, I think offensively they've gotten probably a little bit more versatile than when I was a part of the team. You know, we were a run-first, throw-second team back then. Obviously, that changed as we went to the 2007 Super Bowl, and, and we aired it out and set a lot of records that year. And things changed drastically then. And since then, they can kind of do what they want on offense. You know, they've reinvented themselves a few times here and there with two tight end set and won that way. They've won running it. And, you know, Bill Belichick and his staff is probably the best in the NFL. Obviously, history has shown that year in, year out, they're going to win and win and win. And always be in the hunt. And a big catalyst to that, obviously, is Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time. Yes, I said that. And I think going to another Super Bowl kind of proved that. And I'm excited for him. I had a lot of fun watching the game. And I had a lot of fun watching the Packers-Seattle game as well. That was a great game. But what a ending. And that's what it's all about.
Hey, Jim Langan here. Bill Belichick, I mean, no one gets to know him unless you actually played for him. I mean, you know, he really keeps to himself on the sidelines. I mean, I think he's a great competitor. I'll show the competition I thought was amazing yesterday. There was not much time left. It's 14-7. The ball's on about the 3-yard line. There's only about 20 seconds to go in the half. A 17-7 lead would have been really nice at that time, but he goes for it on fourth down in a couple inches, barely makes it, and still doesn't get in, and we end up kicking the field goal, you know, but he's a risk taker too. I mean, a lot of people don't think he's a risk taker, but he actually is. What was it like to play for him? And tell us a little insight about just a story or two that was funny that happened to you with him.
Oh, absolutely. I, you know, first and foremost, his record speaks for itself. Number two, he's been there before. He acts like he's been there. He knows when to make a call and when not to. You know, he's not always right, but I'll tell you what, he's right 90% of the time. The guy knows what he's doing. And, you know, as a team and whether you're on offense or defense, you trust in the man, you know what he's doing. He has a game plan. They work extremely hard all week to prepare for things like that and have done it. And, so when that situation arises, he can pull the trigger anytime he wants. And, as far as the story with Bill, you know, I can honestly tell you as a player, to never be in his office was a good thing. I was always under the world of as long as you were doing your job and doing what was asked of you, there wasn't going to be much conversation with Bill, and you would never have to be in his office. And the only time I was ever in his office was the day they traded me. And even then, I had a great, great conversation with him. He was honest with me. And I have nothing but good things to say about him. He obviously keeps proving it over and over to people, and I think this is going to be an outstanding Super Bowl, and I can't wait.
Russ Hochstein joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Doug Duda along with Jim Langan on this Monday. Seattle taking on New England in Super Bowl 49. I think I said 11 years. It's been 10 years since they last won it in Super Bowl 39. As you just watch, you're not in the film room, obviously, anymore, Russ, but give me a little insight here of how you think the New England-Seattle matchup will look. Some things that jive well for each team and some places where maybe both teams will struggle, just kind of from what you've seen here this season.
Well, I think, number one, I think Seattle is an outstanding matchup for New England, and I think New England's a great matchup for them. New England, they're probably their weakest point on defense from a fan's perspective. And as a former player, I think running the ball against New England hurts them. If you can control the clock, control the ball on the ground, and not have to go and throw at New England secondary, I think you do really well. And vice versa for New England. They're going to have to find a way to run the ball and stay two-dimensional. Because if you take away their running game and they have to start airing it out, that's not a defense that I would like to throw against anybody, and let their pass rush get Brady is not a good thing. And I think that's why it's such a great, great matchup. I think special teams is going to have a huge play in the Super Bowl. Field position is going to matter a lot. But, you know, I say that, and I watched both games yesterday and watched Green Bay and Seattle go out there, and there was interceptions, fumbles. So you never know what you're going to get, but I think they're going to be pretty polished going into the Super Bowl. And I definitely think who controls the running game is going to determine who wins that game.
Russ, we mentioned New England's constantly in the playoffs, and they've been in all these AFC championship games, but they're finally getting back to the Super Bowl. Seattle will actually have the advantage of going through this with a good amount of their players last year, where that won't be the case for the Patriots. How big of a difference was that when you went the first time, and then of course you got to go three straight times, but how do you get those first timers through the 2 weeks?
The first timers, you know, there's a lot of it's the greatest one day show in sports history. You know, the week leading up to it is as busy as it can be. And I think Bill's mentality when I was there was to make sure you got 90% of your work done this week off. You know, I mean, you have a week off where you're not playing next weekend. He will hammer him. He'll go after him and make sure that all the game plan is mostly put in before they even travel down to Arizona. And once you're at Arizona, they'll put a few things in. They'll polish up. And he has good ways of keeping guys motivated. But really, this is a great week for New England, and I'm sure Seattle will look at it the same way. You want to minimize his distractions as quick as possible. Get your plans done right away this beginning of this week and really focus in for 4 or 5 straight days on your opponent. And then after that, you kind of get to go and be a part of the show and do your media day on Tuesday. And then come Wednesday afternoon next in a little over a week, they'll be focused in and they'll start really sitting down and looking at what they need to do and kind of stay away from the crowds and the family things as much as they can and really focus on the game. And Bill does that better than anyone.
Yeah, Jim Lyon here again. Russ, when I watch New England play, there are times when it seems that they are changing the play maybe with 10 seconds left on the clock to change the play, you know, and to get into the right. The defense has kind of shown blitz or something, and it seems like they do a really good job with a short passing game on that. Is that true? Is that when they change the play, is it usually to a short pass? Am I seeing that incorrectly?
No, I think that, you know, obviously Brady has a tremendous amount of say in what he can throw and what he can't, what he can run and what he can't, and he's well versed and schooled in what he's going to do through the game plan preparation they do every week. So he knows when he gets in a certain situation what he's looking for and what he's not. Coverages dictate, defensive formations in front of you dictate. He can slide the O line which way he wants to go and pick up his blitz, and he knows where his vulnerabilities are. So with 10 seconds left, he can read a lot on the defense. You know, they have to start showing themselves. He picks up on it and can do some changing. And I think Aaron Rodgers has the same thing. I think Peyton Manning obviously has done it. And most quarterbacks can do it. But I think Brady's been on a team as long as he has a lot of freedom to do that. And he does it as well as anyone.
Last minute here with Russ Hochstein. We'll let him get back to being dad back there in the burbs of Boston as we talk a little Super Bowl here. And Russell, you mentioned Tom Brady. Yes, you said the greatest quarterback of all time. People are going to be talking about validating. That's what we're going to hear over the next week. I don't think he needs to do it, and he doesn't have the gaudy numbers of Peyton Manning. But from season to season, he's hit almost every mark that you've wanted to hit. Do you think he's getting his due?
Absolutely. I think that the conversation is winning championships. You know, obviously the consistency at quarterback position has always been looked at hugely in the NFL. If you look at the Hall of Famers over the years, and he's obviously done that, and now it's time to go out and win another championship, and he's been to as many as any quarterback, more than any other quarterback. So it'll be interesting to see.
Do you need to go, Russell?
No. Well, my kids, they love to walk in and give you a little, hey, Dad, how you doing? How come you're not focused on us today?
Well, I know you got some friends listening back here with some little kids as well. You got any messages for the fans back here in Nebraska?
Well, I'm excited for Nebraska coming up next year. I'm excited to see what we do in the new era. And I got a lot of buddies in Kearney area, and you know Lauren as well as anyone. And I'm just hoping that his kids aren't crying like mine are right now.
Lauren did want to know if you had any insights into how the Hardington Cedar Catholic basketball season was going.
I do not currently have much of an update for him, but if we get to the state tournament, I'd love to face old St. Paul again. But those days are well behind us. We can't live in the yearbook anymore, Lauren.
Last thing that we'll let you get out of here, Russ. I mean, bottom line, the odds makers have put this at an even game. I know your heart's with New England. What's it going to take for them to get it done? What's the key for the Super Bowl?
The key for the Super Bowl, and from an old guy who's been there, would be to see who out-prepares who and obviously make him plays the day of the game. Because the last couple Super Bowls, New England, a few more plays were made than New England did, and that's how they lost.
Well, Russ, we'll let you get back to being dad. Appreciate you giving us some time here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Always great catching up with you, buddy.
Thank guys very much, and have a great one.
Take care. Happy New Year. And Super Bowl just around the corner. Out of Hartington, Hartington Cedar Catholic, Russ Hochstein, former Husker, has some Super Bowl rings. Unfortunately, his last game with the Patriots was the one for the undefeated season, Jimmy, and we all know how that ended up. I did want to ask him about that, you know, you win them. I think there's so many different styles, so many different players. As you talk about, some of these guys have been in the Super Bowl. Some have been in a lot of playoff games. Some of them won Super Bowl. Some of them never been there. This is where I think a lot of dynamic comes into play. You may have a well-oiled machine, but this is a whole different deal. This is a whole different deal when you're talking championships, whether it's the World Series or NBA Finals or the Daytona 500 or this one game called the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting because New England offensively had been playing fairly well. Defensively, they'd given up some points. I still think Seattle's defense is pretty good. They gave up some points, but boy, their field position the Green Bay Packers had in the first half was absolutely amazing. And they only walked out of there with 16 points. And that whole game was played on that side of the field. So it'll be real interesting to see what will happen. I do know this. If Seattle plays as poor as they did the first half against New England, they will get beat. New England will not be. Their offense will do something to score more points than 16.
The thing that will keep resonating with me is that we didn't talk about Seattle's offense and probably still won't. And then that's what, I don't know if that won them the game last year because their defense was very good as well. But, I mean, the shocking thing was the way their offense played in last year's Super Bowl. Can they do it again? Because a lot of people thought that that would be a shootout yesterday, and obviously with New England being favored by a touchdown, many people thought the Patriots would win, but their defense found a way. So New England's defense, Seattle's offense, we know the other two are good, New England's offense and Seattle's defense. I guess we'll see how it all plays out. We go back to the Dent Popper inbox. Rusty and Lamar says, is the world going to end? Doug was speaking about NASCAR. Or is this a New Year's resolution to becoming a well-rounded sports fan? Rusty, I'm a well-rounded sports fan. I know NASCAR is bunk.
You're talking about inflation of footballs. I thought you were talking maybe somebody's tire pressure would be up about 37 pounds instead of the 36 that it's supposed to be.
We're only like a month away from Daytona.
When is Daytona?
I'm trying to see. It's in February. I'm looking at the odds here, and I can't see what Cole Trickle is. So if somebody can give me the odds on Cole Trickle for the Daytona, I'd love to see that. We're going to take a break here. Stu Pospisil from the Omaha World Herald right around the corner. And don't forget, lunchtime or anytime, the Chicken Coop in Kearney is there for you. Come on in and watch some Monday night basketball or, of course, get caught up to date on some horse racing. They got the horse racing channel is on. They've got the Sports Center is on. Anything you want to watch, NHL, NBA. It's a big afternoon with Martin Luther King Day. Maybe a lot of you or some of you have the day off. Spend a little extra time with your friends or family at the Chicken Coop. And, of course, Monday their special is a steak sandwich with choice of side item for $7.49. Lunch specials are from 11 to 4. Chow is served all day, 11 to 10, at the Chicken Coop, open 7 days a week. Downtown Kearney, stop by and see them today. We'll be back, talk a little high school hoops with Stu Pospisil after this.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Cretan Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Cretan Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Cretan Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Cretan Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Comforting guidance when you need it most.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
Dedicated, trusted, and compassionate service.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
We listen to you.
We are here for you.
And we help ease a difficult time.
Our family serving your family for generations. Please call, stop by, or go online. Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services.
Hastings Physical Therapy, the standard for excellence in one-on-one care, is proud to offer Hastings' first and only on-site aquatic therapy pool, featuring state-of-the-art heated therapy pool technology with private locker rooms. Providers to Hastings College, The Danger, and South Central Nebraska. Make us your choice when you need physical therapy. Open 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. and conveniently located next to Applebee's on Osborne Drive West. Visit HastingsPhysicalTherapy.com to tour all of our services or call 402-462-2665.
Super Shine Auto Care. We clean the out of your car. It's our 30th anniversary. We've brought back our unlimited wash. For $19.95 a month, you can keep your car super clean with our soft cloth auto wash. We hand scrub the bugs and hand dry your vehicle for that finished touch. Not only that, but you can use our vacuums for free when you wash your vehicle. Also try our auto detailing and Mobile One Lube Express. Look for us online at supershineautocare.com.
We all like to save money, and we all like to save time. So why not save money and time on your auto insurance? At Battle Creek Insurance, we offer a way to do both. Enroll in our EFT payment option and save 5% on your auto insurance premium. EFT makes bill paying easy, convenient, and there's no worry of late payments. Visit bcmutual.com today to contact a local Battle Creek independent agent and start saving. Battle Creek Mutual, better together.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, reminding you that when 2015 warms up like this, you're already starting to get up, get in your Quonset hut, get in your machinery shed, and start working on your gear for 2015, because it won't be long until you're getting into the fields. And as I was driving around doing ball games, I saw the TNL tag on numerous center pivot irrigation systems, ready to get things done in 2015 as they continue to grow, expand, and folks from around the world finding out more about the proven technology that works, which involves TNL's Precision Point Control 3, where you can control the speed, direction, the end gun, and auto stop locations with GPS or encoder position sensors. It's all there for you. You can find out a whole lot of information. You want to find more out about hydrostatic pivot irrigation systems, different than everybody else, and that's why you don't have to worry about the spoking and the got the constant running here with TNL, as we've told you about. You can visit your local TNL dealer or go to TNLIRR.com. If you've already got a TNL irrigation system, make sure you get that preventative maintenance done so it's ready to go for you. And it's a beautiful time to come out and kind of do some of that maintenance on a few days like this. TNL irrigation systems, proven technology that works. Let's take a look at some of the other sports stories from the weekend. It's not all Super Bowl, but obviously that will dominate here for the next couple of days. We do have Nebraska women's basketball tonight on the Big Ten Network and 12:30 a.m. KHAS. 6 o'clock, the Huskers will be taking on Purdue. The new rankings should be out here within the hour. Nebraska's ranked 17th, and they're coming off 3 straight wins, so probably will move up a spot or two. Purdue, even though they're 9-8, they kind of lost some of their really talented players to graduation last year. They have probably been as big a thorn. Now, Penn State was with winning 3 straight championships, but they fell off with all the graduation. Purdue not falling off quite as much, but they're a physical club, and they have just, they're that team, Jimmy, that just has Nebraska's number. Every team has one of those, every, no matter what the level of competition is.
Yeah, you're right.
The Jets may stink, but they'll play the Patriots tough.
Like you say, it seems like there's even in college football, there's always a team that you're going, ah, every time we play these guys, you know, here they come again. You know, they just don't back off. So, yeah, you're right.
And then the men will play Minnesota at home tomorrow. UNK, 2 very exciting home games on Saturday. Both came down to the wire. Both won by 3. The women 65-62 over Central Oklahoma. Another great game for Amara Williams. And then Mackenzie Brown hit a late 3 and got a steal to finish things off. And then another freshman in the men's game, Ty Danielson out of York, converted a 4-point play. That's a 3 and a foul, with 28 seconds remaining to give UNK's men an 83-80 victory. And Connor Baronic has once again been named the MIAA Men's Basketball Player of the Week. He lit it up on Thursday with 8 threes, 32 points. He had another 19, along with Ethan Brozik. The Lopers will be hosting Pittsburgh State Thursday. Hastings women had their 9-game winning streak snapped by number 1 Morningside. The men also fell. They'll be back in action at Concordia on Wednesday. Well, let's
you're right about one thing. UNK basketball, men's basketball, have been very competitive, and the women's program has really picked up. You know, I mean, I'm throwing out those two games, those two wins over Panhandle State. I mean, don't look at those, but look at the rest of the schedule and the way they've been competing. They had a couple tough losses in November, but they've really come on and competed very well. And they've had they've made the move in the MIAA, and hats off to them because they are now competing in that thing.
No doubt about it. And some of the conference tournaments are getting underway this week. Centennial Conference next week at the RPAC. Then right around the corner, we'll be covering the Fort Kearney and Lou Platte, as always, on our network of stations. And so many great games will be going on. And Stu Pospisil, sports editor, that's what I'm calling him. But he'll lie. He'll tell me that he's not quite that big a deal down there in Omaha. But he is the prep sports editor of the Omaha World Herald. Joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, Doug Duda, Jim Langan. Happy New Year, Stuart.
Happy New Year, guys. You know what was the best thing about that UNK report? How many in-state kids did you mention there? I mean, they're winning with in-state kids, and I think that's great.
Well, that's exactly – I could kind of think of that when I was reading. I was going, Stu will like this. And they're freshmen, too, so they're coming in and contributing immediately, which isn't always a great thing, but especially with McKenzie and Ty, boy, look at that. And then you talked about Connor Bronick, Ethan Brozek. For UNK, and you know that, Stuart – When they were really, really good playing in Elite Eights, you have to have those Nebraska kids.
You do, and you know, Mackenzie Brown was our Athlete of the Year last spring. Ty Danielson was a candidate for the honor. You know, multi-sport kids, too, I think, you know, just add so much to a program because they know how to compete in more than their one specialty area. And I don't know, I think that it's just nice to see the UNK having success on that next higher level, and to be honest, you know, with UNO going up to Division One, you know, they may have recruited some of those kids before. Now those kids, you know, if they want to be on that Division Two level, you're down, you know, you've got three options instead of four, and so those three state college schools are going to benefit a bit from the players on that level.
Stu Pospisil with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Haven't had a chance to talk a whole lot of statewide high school basketball with Stu since the beginning of the year. And, you know, the first few rankings haven't had to change a whole lot. And, Stuart, this is a whole other discussion as well, because I think we've got that division that we've talked about so much with there isn't a whole lot of middle ground. So if you're good,
right,
and you play a competitive team, that's probably not going to mess you up a whole lot in the rankings. And we did St. Cecilia, or I did St. Cecilia Kearney Catholic on Saturday, and talking with Coach Asher, holy cow, this Centennial Conference Boys Tournament next week is going to be incredible. It's got some of the top teams in the entire state outside of A that are going to be battling here.
You know, you mentioned Kearney Catholic. I wish Kearney Catholic would get into the Centennial. I think it would improve the Stars programs because you're just playing against that much better competition. And no offense to the conference it's in, but, you know, let's be honest, Adams Central and Kearney Catholic really, really do not fit that conference anymore.
Yeah, but we'd have to travel more.
Well, but look at what Kearney High had to do the other week. Go out to North Platte, then to Westside.
Yeah,
I alluded to that this morning. That was not right.
I noticed that. And you know, still some of the growing pains, I suppose, Stu, over the last just 2 years now where we've agreed, you know, the metro schools were tired of Western schools getting a wild card and playing Class B competition. Well, part of that is then, okay, well, you got to come out here and play us once in a while. So I suppose we're still seeing a little massaging of those schedules, aren't we?
I think that. That's very true, and you know, but that would have been a very easy solution. Just flip one of those games. You know, Kearney stays at home for one of those this year and goes out on the road the following year. That was just ridiculous, in my opinion.
Hey, Stu, Jim Langan, you're correct about one thing, and that is Bishop Newman, SCOTUS, Grand Island Central Catholic, that league, the boys this year, that is a tremendous conference. Kearney Catholic girls are probably way the best in the Lou Platte Conference. But last year, this is an important stat to know about the Lou Platte Conference. Last year, the Kearney Catholic boys made it to the state tournament. All right, they had a great record, but they had to play a bunny bracket game in the Lou Platt Conference. So the Lou Platt Conference boys basketball is a pretty competitive league. Ravana's won a few state championships in that thing, and the rest of the group's not bad. But I agree with you about Adams Central being a Class B school is going to dominate some of the lower enrollment schools in that league.
Yeah, and if I don't know what Adams Central's enrollment trend is. But and maybe we just have to wait a couple years, and let's see what this classification committee does with the NSAA. Where are we headed? You know, I'm hoping we're headed back to five classes, maybe four, and that may, you know, change the landscape, too, of who moves where and what have you. I mean, if for some reason we stay in six, well, then I think Adams Central really needs to look at a move up if their enrollment says they're going to stay in a 32-team Class B. But let's get back also to the Centennial, which was your initial query. It's going to be a great tourney next week. You know, those quarterfinal games, you're probably going to have ratings matchups in up to three of them, because I think I've got six or seven teams ranked this week. And, you know, those semis at Lincoln Christian on January 30th, that's one of the best matchups you're going to see before the state tourney anywhere in the state this year.
Just some great, great basketball. Aquinas, St. Cecilia, Bergen, SCOTUS, Newman, just to name a handful.
Grand Island Central Catholic is ranked. I mean, I think they're probably one of the top five teams in C1. I don't know where you got them ranked right now, but I'll say this. They don't even get to host. You know, they got to travel.
Right.
You know, so, right, that's a heck of a stat there. What do you have them ranked, Stu, and where's DICC ranked right now?
I've got them five.
Okay.
You know, three of the top five in C1 are from the Centennial. SCOTUS is one, Newman two, GICC is five, and then in C2, you've got St. Cecilia at one, Bergen at two, and Aquinas at eight, and I'll be seeing Bergen going to SCOTUS on Friday night. I mean, that's a great warm-up for next week.
We just had Russ Hochstein on, and I just wanted to mention that his Hardington Cedar Catholic Ball Club, number 9 in Class C2, even though they're not in the Centennial Conference. Stu Pospisil, Prep Sports Editor, Omaha World-Herald, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Kearney has already got a chance to witness Norfolk in the holiday tournament in the GNAC. Creighton Prep will be coming in next week. Is there a line still between, you got 1 and 2 and then a line, or is that not the case right now?
Well, I think we're going to see if that line gets broken in the next 8 days, because number 3, Bellevue West, which is still the defending champion, hosts Norfolk on Saturday night and then goes to Prep on Tuesday. So we're going to know, A, how Bellevue West stacks up in its title defense, and B, we'll see if there is, you know, a top two and then the rest are chasing.
Taking a look at Class B, Gretna has been pretty solid up there. Omaha Scut, 8-4 is number 2, but obviously we see the competition, them, Beatrice, and Beatrice's only loss coming to St. Cecilia. Scott's Bluff, maybe we saw a couple chinks in their armor. Maybe it was just the day that Kearney beat them, but 10-3, what about where you see in Class B right now?
I think it's wide open. I think it's the last team standing, the one that's playing the best in March, because I don't think there's a dominant team. I like, from what I've heard, Scott's Bluff's talent, but I think their chemistry's not settled yet. They had a move in from the Quad Cities area, and I think in places like Scott's Bluff, where you've got a feeder program set up and kids expect playing time, and then you throw that balance off. It, like any place, it's going to take a little time for that to settle out and shake out. And, you know, I look for Tony Siskiya to have the Bearcats ready come February and March.
Yeah, Stu, I worked Norfolk Saturday night, refereed their game Saturday, and I think they've got just as good a shot to win Class A. Usually it's been a team in Omaha or Lincoln that has won that, but I think as an out-state team, I think they've got a legitimate shot this year. Your thoughts on that?
Well, the way they shot, I mean, you take a look at their two games this weekend. Now, they were going against zones on Friday night at Westside. They shoot 69% from the field and 68% on threes. Now, that's highly abnormal, but it still happened. The next night, they hold North Platte to 19. When was the last time you saw a Class A team held under 20? You know, I mean, that two different types of games completely. Norfolk showed that they were able to to achieve both of those. I think Bellevue West may expose some things with Norfolk, though, Jim, depending on how the game's called and how will they handle very good man pressure by a quick team.
Right. Good point. Their guard play seems to be fairly good, but they also can bring the ball up with their big boys. You know, their big boys can handle it. So if it's man-to-man all over the floor, I don't know what Bellevue West is going to do, you know, but they got to expect anything.
Right. You know, you can throw it over the top with Logan and with Tyler. Now, Logan he was not really a factor in the West Side game, and they still scored 81 points. So when Thomas Eaker comes off the bench and nails six threes and doesn't miss a shot all night, you've got everything going. But, you figure most nights Strom's going to have to score you 10 to 15, against the better teams.
Another minute here with Stu Pospisil of the Omaha World Herald on the Doug and Daddy Show. I know, Stu, you don't get a whole lot of chances to see Class D basketball. The Mudicus just had their get-together here the last week. That always has some great matchups. But anything from the lower classes that have caught your eye here in the first 6 weeks?
I think both classes are kind of wide open. Clearwater Orchard with Andy Kirkman, I think that the Cardinals up there, or whatever they're called in their co-op.
I think it's the Cyclones now.
Cyclones.
Yeah.
They're looking good. High Plains is off to a great start at 12-0. They're going to be in the crossroads. Is it next week, guys?
Yeah.
And that's for your listeners. If they haven't gone over and seen a game at the York City Auditorium in that conference tourney, it's well worth the night going over. I mean, it's a little bit of a throwback. It's definitely a throwback gym. Great hospitality and usually pretty good basketball. And in D2, I think the surprise is that Bancroft Rosalie, last year's champion, lost a lot, but they're 13-0 and rolling.
Yeah, still at the top there. Paxton, Fall City, Sacred Heart right behind him. The Spalding Academy Club, I know a lot of people, they have been very solid here the last 5-6 years, and they're in a district that includes Wilcox, Hildreth, and a lot of people keep asking me, Stu, well, who's good? Who you seen that's good? Who's going to go to state? And I'll tell you what, for the boys in our area, outside of, St. Cecilia Central Catholic, there are not a lot in your rankings, just from a 60-mile radius that I'd say, and because of the way a couple of these districts pan out, it could be interesting. Not that there aren't talented teams here, but there's got to be a lot of cakewalks in our area.
Yeah, I really haven't looked at the districts. I think Wilcox Hildreth is a great story. I mean, 14-0 right now. We'll see how they fare, through their conference tourney. The Spalding Academy, remember that they were with Spalding until this year, and when Spalding went with Cedar Rapids, Spalding Academy was left out on its own, and both teams are having success. I think Riverside's 8-4, and we saw that in football where that co-op ended up playing for the state title as independent teams.
Strange stuff. Stu, before we let you go, anything else that we should be keeping our eyes up open for here in the next week or two besides the Class A matchup you gave us?
Well, I just, the Centennial Conference, as we get into the conference tourney season, we're going to see who can play two and three nights, sometimes in a row without preparation, without, working on a game plan for two or three days. And you'll see some upsets. And, we're in the cold and flu season, too. So, it's who can avoid, kids that are getting sick and getting, the ankle dings and knee strains and what have you. And, it's a stretch run, starting with these conference tournaments.
It's always fun looking at the rankings every once in a while. A team has been absent for a couple of years, like a Deschler, and they're back in there. And then you see Ainsworth and Winnebago and Hemingford, schools that don't have a lot of tradition. Ainsworth did in the Carr days, but there's a good mixture going on
Ainsworth
right now.
Was in the state final last year, guys.
Remember?
Great
final. The best final. Probably the best final.
Yeah, exactly. And now they're playing, I think, up a class in C1, and another team, Winnebago, went up Yeah, with Ainsworth went up and Winnebago went up. I'm going to go see Winnebago, I think, next week, play Bancroft-Rosalie on Tuesday night in Winnebago. And here's another little tidbit. All four Native American towns that we have in the state all have winning basketball teams this year.
Did not know.
That is good. That's good for basketball, too. Two teams out here I just see that you might sneak in there and cause some trouble. Amherst, you know, they lost to St. Pat. St. Pat's is like 11-1, and St. Pat's lost to Cozad. But like I said, you know, you said Wilcox-Sildreth is a great story of them being 14-0. Who would have thought that? So, yeah, you covered our area pretty good out here.
Yeah, you know, with Braden Heck out, his dad played on the 87 team, right, that made the –
We don't try to date anyone around.
We don't try to date anybody too much, but yeah, the Eckhout family's been very good in sports. And yeah, he had 36 and a loss.
To North Platte, St. Pat's,
yeah,
right?
To St. Pat's, yeah. I just kept putting my finger in the air and putting signaling touchdown for three pointers for about 5 minutes. In fact, my arm's still sore.
I think
yeah, my arm is still sore from that game from putting it up and down so fast.
Hey, Stu, always appreciate the time here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Go take care of the kids, okay?
I sure will, and we'll see you guys down the road.
Hope so. Thanks, Stu. Stu Pospisil, Prep Sports Editor of the Omaha World Herald. Let's take a look at our Midtown Mart cooler question before we get towards the end here. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Who will win the Super Bowl? Let's get your thoughts right now. Patriots, Seahawks. I'm taking Seahawks because I took them at the beginning of the year. Jimmy, how about you?
Well, I've got to do the same thing, Doug. I got to take the Seahawks because that's who I'll be rooting for, but it's not like I'm a big Seahawks fan, but I am now.
We'll see how things pan out. Vote now or anytime on our Midtown Mart cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. ESPNSuperstation.com, the Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We'll take our final break and wrap things up after this.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
A few years ago, we decided as a company to drop the big franchise name so that we could invest the franchise dollars locally in the good things Kearney has to offer. And in that, I mean the people and what we do for each other. This is Tim Norwood with NP Realty.
NP Realty invites you to the annual Home and Builder Show at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds this Friday from 1 to 8, Saturday from 10 to 8, and Sunday 11 to 5. We hope to see you this weekend.
NP Realty, developing dreams.
Have you ever seen a rusty fish? The same way scales protect a fish from his environment, the Arma Coating Spray-On Bed Liners from the Dent Popper protects your pickup bed. No rust, no dents, no scratches, no chemical corrosion. So your truck has a longer work life and holds its value longer. Reduces load slippage, and here's a bonus, it quiets the ride. See the Dent Popper north of Railroad on First, on the bricks, downtown Kearney, and get a free estimate for an Arma Coating Spray-On Bed Liner. Guaranteed for as long as you own your truck.
See the latest trends in home building and home furnishings at the 32nd Annual Kearney Home and Builders Show, January 23rd, 24th, and 25th. Leading home builders, home improvement businesses, and decorators will be sharing ideas at the Buffalo County Expo Center. January 23rd, 1 till 7, the 24th, 10 till 7, and the 25th, 11 till 5. Admission is $3 per person, 12 and under are free. Featuring the Wildlife Encounters on Saturday and Sunday. Sponsored by Kearney Area Builders Association. That's the Kearney Home and Builders Show, January 23rd through 25th in Kearney.
Holden, you haven't moved in hours.
I know. I need to exercise, but I don't have the motivation.
It's not like you have to run 10 miles or do 1,000 push-ups. All it takes is some physical activity. A short walk, a bike ride, or some disc golf.
That's it?
Just 30 minutes a day will add years to your life.
Wow. I can find that much time every day to be active. It might even be kind of fun.
For more information and helpful resources, check out ActivateBuffaloCounty.com, powered by Buffalo County Community Partners and Safe Routes to School.
Doug and Daddy Show wrapping up a Martin Luther King Monday edition. Gonna let Jimmy Langan hit the road. He's got an MLK tournament quadrangular spectacular extravaganza up at Pleasanton. There's a little bit of that junior high basketball stuff going on this Monday, so we'll let him out the road. Before we let you go, wrestling over the weekend, things were very exciting. Good crowd on hand for the second annual Midwest Duels that were held at Kearney's Buffalo County Fairgrounds. The Lopers did go 3-2, including dropping a one-point duel to Western State. They wrestled without nationally ranked Chase White, and Romero Cotton missed the final three duels to injury. They beat Central Central Missouri, Colorado State, Pueblo, and Pratt, Kansas, fell to 11th-ranked Western State, 25-24, and 19th-ranked Colorado Mesa, 23-10. Then on the high school side of things, there were six teams there. Kearney won them all, 5-0, including 38-18 over Amherst, and a couple of great matchups between some state-rated wrestlers that were 1-0, including at heavyweight. So those two teams, A versus D, and some great matches there. And more wrestling coming up this week, including the Lou Platt Conference Tournament, which Saturday will be in Loup City. We'll cover it live on Classic Hits 98.9 with the finals at around 2 o'clock. We'll talk more about that this week on the show. Also, we'll catch up with Coach Jim Holton as they get ready for a four-game homestand, the Tri-City Storm. Two wins over the weekend. Thing is, they're playing as well as I can remember. They're playing as well as I can remember in years, and they're sitting in third in a tough Western Conference, so they got to keep on going at 18-10-5, and they'll be home, start of a four-game homestand against Omaha Friday night at 7:30, then Sioux Falls comes in on Saturday. Nebraska baseball ranked 23rd in the preseason D1Baseball.com rankings. Vanderbilt's on top, followed by Florida, Virginia, UCLA, and South Carolina. But Indiana not in there after a lot of graduations, and Nebraska is the only Big Ten team, along with Maryland, now coming into the league that are rated. Maryland is 14th. And as we promised to tell you, over the weekend, the State American Legion baseball committees got together and awarded the sites for area and state tournaments. And Hastings Duncan Field will host the Class A American Senior State Tournament. Just a couple years ago, they went to an American and National division, so 16 senior teams make state. 8 will go to the National at Omaha Westside, and 8 will be in Hastings at Duncan Field. Fremont will host the Class A juniors. Class B, the seniors will be at Cozad, the juniors at Bennington. The Class C senior state tournament, Battle Creek, the juniors will be at Dodge. As far as the area tournaments that get you into state, Class A, Grand Island and Kearney will host the seniors. Columbus and Scotts Bluff will host the juniors. Most of the Class B schools in our area will play at McCook for seniors and Holdridge for juniors. And in Class C, seniors in the area will be going to Silver Creek in Area 5, David City in Area 6, Alma in Area 7, while Sutton, Shelton, and Imperial will be hosting the junior tournaments this summer in July and then into the state tournaments in August. And boy, I know Jimmy will be appreciative of this one. Division II, the NCAA convention was this weekend, and the 90th NCAA championship sport will be sand volleyball. Became a championship in Division I last October. Now Division II and Division III have approved sand volleyball. I even sent a text out to Coach Squires. He's not sure that the sand volleyball is in the future for UNK, but it will be a championship sport. And that's going to wrap things up as far as our Doug and Daddy show here today. I want to thank Russ Hochstein, former Husker and three-time Super Bowl champion with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and New England Patriots, for joining us on the program today, as well as Stu Pospisil of the Omaha World Herald, prep sports editor, talk a little boys basketball. Be interesting to see the girls' rankings when they come out tomorrow. I don't care who you are, what class you're in. Congratulations to the Hastings St. Cecilia girls. They went 3-0 against Grand Island Northwest, Minden, and Kearney Catholic last week, beating Minden on the road by one Thursday, and then beating Kearney Catholic. Both of those teams were undefeated at their home court Saturday by two, and it doesn't get a whole lot easier. They play a state-rated friend team later this week. So congratulations to the Hawkettes. That's a great, great run. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!
Damon Day's going to come in, kind of recap their baseball banquet. Jabba Chamberlain was back for that. They raised some good money.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!
Got some other special guests for you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show. Have a good one, folks. We'll see you then.